Oh, hello, hello, and welcome back, or welcome to the Life Without Limits podcast. I'm your host, Yogi Roth, and just got back from an epic adventure in New Zealand. I was with my dad and brother living the van life, and it was classic. A lot of you know my dad from the film Life in a Walk. Some of you know my younger brother, Ravi, from his documentary series online titled Ravi Around the World. It's a travel blog, and it's absolutely hilarious, and we had hilarity throughout the North and the South Island. I will be diving much further into that because, of course, we recorded a variety of different conversations. So that podcast will come out shortly. But in the meantime, we got this podcast, and it is awesome. Our guest, her name is Courtney Cole, and she is a storyteller, singer, songwriter, actress, performer, and now filmmaker. She has a documentary series out titled The Rockumentary. You can find it on YouTube, and it is off the hook. Episode 6 just dropped today, and in that episode is a lot of our conversation from this podcast. Now, when you get to know Courtney, number one, you're going to love her music, you're going to love her personality, but I think you're really going to love her journey. She grew up outside of New Orleans, Louisiana, fell in love with music, fell in love in performing at 5 years old when she sang at her church talent show, and it's a hilarious story that she dives into. But as her career fast-forwarded, she moved her way to Nashville, got entrenched in the music scene, and all of a sudden was opening for Miranda Lambert, Kenny Chesney, performing at Stagecoach, headlining big-time acts, and right on the verge of being a household name. And then, like it happens to a lot of us as performers and creatives, the bottom falls out. And this conversation and her documentary series titled The Rockumentary is about her picking up the pieces. When she describes it, she says it's from brokenness to finding joy is the journey that she takes us on in all of her vulnerability, which is her documentary series. As a filmmaker and a storyteller, I'm in love with it. When I watch it, I laugh, I cry. It's simply amazing. I think she's really inspiring. She talks about her process of dealing with fear, of dealing with, you know, being crushed and getting back up, of dealing with moving to a new city as she's recently moved to Los Angeles. And I think there's a ton of takeaways in this conversation. Remember, season 3 is all about talking to people who are seeking to be the best version of themselves. Courtney clearly does that. I'm getting out of the way. You're going to love it. And stick around to the very end because you're going to get an amazing song that Courtney has just released, which is also her title song in episode 6. This is the Life Without Limits podcast. Here comes Courtney Cole and the Rockumentary. Oh, and welcome into the studio. We are live right now as well. This is the first Life Without Limits podcast that is also simulcast on the YouTube.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, you can find that out on Courtney Cole's YouTube page or Yogi Roth's YouTube page. And I'm joined by the lovely Courtney Cole. Courtney, welcome to the Life Without Limits pod. We're fired up over here.
Hey, I feel honored that I'm like on this podcast right now. I'm a big fan.
I love it. I love it. All right. So you know a little bit about this podcast. You've listened in. You have mutual friends that have been on it before. You are the first musician, country musician, to be on this podcast.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm fired up for that element of it. And this podcast is all about exploring the idea of what does it mean to be human? Mm. So we'll start with that question.
What does it mean to be human?
Yeah. For you.
That's like a tough question to start on, Yogi. Like, you get deep on this thing.
We're not playing around.
I think for me, what it means to be human is to evolve. To just grow, expand in thought and experience, and to continue to raise where you've been in the past, you know, raise the vibration to evolve, to be better.
Okay. I like it. All right. So we're going to evolve. And the only rule in this podcast is to ask questions I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
A little background. We've known each other for a little while. So yeah. I always like to start with that type of question after we discuss what it means to be human.
Yeah.
Your first memory of meeting me, and then I'll tell mine and see if we actually net out in the
same place. Oh, this is fun. Okay. Perfect.
You get to go first.
Oh, I get to go first. Yeah. Okay. First memory of meeting Yogi. I had a rough day that day. Was running around, lost my wallet. Mm. And was so bummed. So my wallet had my license in it. Me and my girlfriend were going to go out and use a Ruth Chris Steakhouse gift card that day. And so I was like, yes, I'm going to go out and drink wine. It's going to be so fun. Then we'll like go out afterwards. Well, I didn't have my ID. So I like was so desperate that I brought my birth certificate to Ruth Chris trying to get wine. Anyway, they didn't let me drink. So we were going to leave. And my friend was like, well, let's just go home. It's fine. I was like, yeah, we'll go home. We don't need to go out. But Kate Vogel and Brett Hughes were in town and they had a friend that was in town. They're like, hey, we're going to go out. You should meet up with us. So I was like, well, no, I'm not going to go. I don't have my ID. I can't get in. They're like, well, we're at a place where we don't need IDs. So we're just chilling. So I was like, yes. Okay. So I went and you walked in and we were standing at a little high top table and Brett introduced me to you and said, this guy's really famous. He's like a big, he's like sports guy. He's like big in football and blah, blah. And I said, what's your name? He said, Yogi. And I was like, sorry, I've never heard of you.
That's so true.
And then we just talked about life. I remember we talked for a good while. And it was freezing that night. And then, yeah. And that was it. We were going to watch the Super Bowl the next day. And
I bailed. Yep.
That's fair.
Yeah, I wasn't famous enough for you to hang out and watch the Super Bowl with.
No, I had movie night planned in my head.
That is true. Okay, so similarly, I recall that night. I was there for a coach's clinic, Tony Franklin's coach's clinic. And I had to give the presentation. And it was a big weekend because the Seattle Seahawks were playing, for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And it was going to be, you know, everybody, all eyes were on it. And I was staying with Brett and Kate. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of just chilling, hanging. And it was late at night. We went out. I was kind of tired, but whatever. And I didn't know anybody. Now, for those of you listening, as you heard in the open, Courtney is a rock star country musician. She blends over a variety of different genres. And my country music taste is very high, but my understanding of a variety of musicians is very low. So I didn't really know a lot of the names in the music game. And they introduced me to you. And I was like, oh, this girl's pretty cool. You're right. We talked all night long, felt a cool connection, a good vibe with you. Went home, listened to some of your jams. And I was like, she needs to come to the Super Bowl party. And I thought that we had this great football music connection. And then you bailed the party. And that was it. Now, luckily, we rebounded from that. And here we are in the studios for the podcast. Yes. So we're evolving, to
we're
use your
evolving.
Word.
We have evolved from that night, for sure.
I love that. Okay, so what I'm most interested about you is that you do what a lot of people want to do but are afraid of, which is you get up and bare your soul as a singer-songwriter. Now, you know me pretty well. I love acting. I love performing. But I really think writing is the purest form of expression because that is the deepest parts of your soul when you put pen to paper. But to take that a layer deeper is when you share it. So whether that's spoken word performance or whether that is singing, and specifically for you as a solo artist, you do that. My question is, have you always been comfortable there? And if not, when did you get comfortable there?
I still don't feel comfortable there. It's funny because like every day I, you know, am trying to write a song or trying to express myself in some way through, you know, I'm doing a docuseries called The Rockumentary and trying to express myself and share myself, be vulnerable. And every time I walk into a writing session, I literally feel like I could throw up because I'm like, what am I going to have anything to offer? Am I going to be able to actually tap into that vulnerability today and actually be brave enough to share? Like, because that's where the good stuff comes from. And, but I just know that I've always known that I've wanted to be an artist, and I know to be able to be an artist, you have to share and you have to be vulnerable and creative in your own fashion. You can't follow. I mean, we all follow in someone's footsteps to some extent for, you know, definitely looking up to people and being inspired by people, but you have to be true to your art and you have to be true to yourself and express what you see in the world in your own creative way.
Okay, so take us through this writing session thing. Mm-hmm. Explain how this works. Like, you wake up in the morning, and some people go to their job, or some people have an appointment or audition. Like, you have someone you're going to meet that is a writer or a co-writer, and what happens?
Right. It's really similar. I mean, usually we pick a time. In Nashville, it's like, okay, we're going to meet at 10:30 or 11, and we're going to write a song. You take a lunch break, and then you finish the song, you record it, whatever. In LA, it's a little bit different. What I'm learning is, you know, it's like, we'll start maybe around 1 or 2, and then you just kind of vibe out for a while and kind of see what comes out, which is really fun and creative. But, you know, you have to kind of treat it as not so much like a job, but just showing up because, you know, like every day, like you have to put yourself out there and just show up. So you show up. You play around. Sometimes you have an idea you've been working on, lyrics you've kind of created in your head, melodies that you've come up with in the shower. And then you say, hey, do you guys dig this? Do you think this is cool? This is what's on my mind today. This is what's on my heart today. I really want to share this.
So do writers ever or the people you go into the room with, your co-writer, do they ever say like, that's a terrible idea? Because it's your thought and you're the artist. So
yeah, all the time. They let you down easy for the most part, unless they're just terrible people. But, you know, they're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm not sure if I really have anything to offer to that, or I'm not really sure if that's like my vibe, but I'm sure it would be cool for somebody else, you know?
It sounds like dating. Like you're going, you're hoping, you're expecting maybe like, okay, this might be my person, and you roll in and you probably know pretty quick if there's a vibe, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know pretty quick, but you know, usually you can kind of work through it, but it's like it's different with songwriting, this kind of art form, because you are literally like bearing your soul. And when they're rejecting that, it's like, it's not just rejecting
your lunch order.
Yeah. It's like, that's like a part of your soul, like what you're feeling, what you're going through at the time. So it can definitely have like an emotional, you know, thing to it, especially when it comes to industry people. It's like after you finish the song and you really believe in a song and you're really like, man, this song is like the truest form of me in song form, you know, and you take it to a publisher, or you take it to the head of a record label to try and get it pitched to a bigger artist. And then they say, no, like this song needs to be completely reworked to work in any fashion, in a commercial level. It hurts.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many thoughts on that, because as a creative, as you referenced, it's the deepest form of connectivity to what you're feeling, to what you're sensing, and obviously what you're going to share with one person that maybe becomes 10 people and hopefully 10 million, right? And for someone to reject that in this era of digital communication, right, where if I want to make a song, I can make a song and put it out anywhere.
Yeah.
What's that like as an artist, knowing that you have these outlets that can do it, but you also kind of need somebody to give it a stamp of approval and say, we're going to go market and promote the daylights out of this thing, because you're kind of doing it in two worlds at the same time currently in your career.
Right. Well, it gives a lot of hope to the situation, honestly, because, I mean, even like platforms like Spotify, where it's like, you know, you can put music on Spotify and iTunes and anybody can hear it. So, it's really great. So it's definitely a good platform, but yeah, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, having a digital platform. You can literally there in the day of bloggers and you know, you can get on Instagram and you see people who are making a whole platform for themselves. Like that's really inspiring to me, because it allows you to be so true to your art form and create what you want to create. And if you can do that, like people are going to respond. You look at some of these bloggers on Instagram that you're like, ah, that's never going to work. Like you're never going to go anywhere with that. But because it resonates with them, it resonates with other people. And so you just have to stick with that and remember that. It's going to connect.
I read this story about you where you went and listened to the song I Got You Babe as a youngster.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that, and what did that trigger in you?
Yeah, so my dad, when I was 5 years old, my dad and I got up at a church talent show. It was his idea. He was like, Courtney's so expressive. We need to put her on stage. And I don't think that they thought I was a singer at that point, because we were lip singing, technically. But he just knew I was like an expressive person and wanted to put me on stage and see how I would react. So it was a church talent show. And I got up there and like hammed it up. We have it all on video. And I just hammed it up. I was five. And after that, once the crowd like clapped for me, I was sold. Like just thriving off of that energy of just like being able to be expressive and then people applauding me and being expressive. Like I was addicted. Wow.
You've performed on a lot of stages, but I think it's often overlooked people's nature that they grew up in. You grew up 20 minutes outside of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Do you have recollections of since that time when you performed as a young kid to kind of cruising through the streets of this bluesy, jazzy, pop music, just musically rich community, and did that continue to cultivate your desire to find those applauses again?
Yeah. I mean, it was always ingrained in me, like this desire. Like I think even if I was like locked in a room, you know, and never experienced music, I think it just was ingrained in me when I was like a little kid. Like it's something bigger than us that puts these desires in our hearts. Like, it's really crazy because even before I can remember, my mom can point out the ways that I was always musical, like humming to the vacuum cleaner and always matching the pitch and then finding the harmony with the pitch, the vacuum cleaner, like when I was like 2 years old. And then, you know, when I was old enough to like need a babysitter and be able to move around and all that, I would have my babysitters wrap me up in a blanket and pull me from room to room. And I would get out in each room and I would sing like I was on tour. And so like it just was ingrained in me. Like, I always wanted to do it. And then being in New Orleans and being around gospel music and jazz music and blues and Zydeco and, you know, being from the deep South where country music is just a way of life, it soaked into me.
So you find your way to college and you go to Belmont University in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of like the music spot, right? Nashville is the music capital of the world or whatever, mm-hmm. specifically in the country genre. Why'd you go there? Like, did you think about, maybe I don't need to go to school. Maybe I'm just going to go on tour. Or, you know, what precipitated that move for you to drop into the epicenter?
Yeah. I was actually on track to go to school for musical theater. So I was looking at going to Columbia College in Chicago, Boston Conservatory, and then got accepted actually because I thought I needed to stay closer to home, which is so funny now thinking about where I've kind of come since then, but got accepted into this little musical theater program in Alabama. And last minute, the worship leader actually at my church sat me down and he said, "Why are you going to study musical theater? I know you love it, but like, you need to be doing, like, you know, pop music. Like, you're an artist. Like, you need to create your own story and not sing someone else's." And I always felt that. So I went and I auditioned for Belmont, their last audition program, and got in. I didn't even really know about that school, but they had commercial voice listed as a degree where you could study pop and country and jazz. And I was like, that's my jam. And it was right at the heart of Music Row where all the record labels are. So I was like, of course, that makes all the sense in the world.
Okay, so you come out of college like all of us do. And mm-hmm. I'm assuming you've just ripped it when you're in school. You're getting creative. You're feeling good. Were you like, all right, let me out into the wild and I'm going to now crush the music scene? What's the kind of the mentality when all of a sudden you don't have a class to go to and you're making this your career?
So I've always been a doer. Like, I always am like, I know this isn't going to just come to me. Like, my mom and dad, they were like, if you're going to go after this, like, you have to put in the work, right? So my junior year of college, I wasn't a songwriter at that point. I had written one song in high school that I sang at church and people clapped for me and I thought it was great. But then I got to Belmont and I realized, oh, people are really good at songwriting. Like, this is more than me just singing a song at church. Like, people are legitimately good. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put that in the closet. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to sing other people's songs. I'm a singer. I'm a performer. I'm going to perform these great songs that people are writing. And so my junior year, I got on MySpace at the time.
Hello.
Yikes. Got on MySpace at the time. And I started messaging all my favorite songwriters from Nashville. Really big songwriters that like were writing for Carrie Underwood that I never heard back from. And so actually there's this one guy, Marty Dotson. He wrote a lot for the country singer, Billy Currington. He actually messaged me back and one other guy messaged me back, an older man. And I was literally just like, will you let me sing some of your songs? I'm like a new artist in town and just want to sing your songs. So green, right? And anyway, they were like, yeah, come in. And I met with Marty. He set me up on my first co-write with him and Rebecca Lynn Howard, who was a huge writer in Nashville. That was my first co-write, which was crazy to think about. And then I met with this other random man. His name was Jeff Dayton, and he was an older man. And we met at a Starbucks and he was like, are you looking for an internship? Because I just signed a new publishing deal at a new company. If you want an internship, my publisher's looking for an intern. I was like, not really, but sure. He was like, well, just come get in my van.
Ooh,
and
van line.
Yeah, come get in my van and I'll take you around and see if we can get you an internship. And with like, I hear my mom in my head just being like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I was like, sure, absolutely. I really want this. So I get in his van. I have my hand like on the door handle in case I have to jump out in case he gets on the interstate.
Oh my God.
Pulls up to the record label. I get hired on the spot and start working front desk for a couple of years actually. And then was right. So I'd work 9 to 5, right from 5 to 10 and try and get better, try and get better, try and get better. And eventually they signed me to my first deal.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm really fascinated because, you know, from that point to, you know, less than, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you're ripping it. You're opening for Miranda Lambert, right? I don't know if you open for Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
You open for, you know, the who's who
yeah.
in country music. The girl that was singing I Got You Babe or lip syncing I Got You Babe to now you're performing in front of thousands. When that became a reality, what's going through your mind?
It felt like it's like when you put it out there so hard, you just put it out there, you put it out there. Like it felt like it all came full circle in that moment. Because thinking of the little girl who was being pulled around in a blanket, getting out and singing in my bedroom to my stuffed animals, to actually singing in an arena was literally the craziest feeling I've ever experienced in my whole life. It felt like it all came to fruition.
Did you feel as though you had arrived? Did you feel as though you were close? Like, how would you even define that phrase? Is that phrase even fair?
It's funny because it's like, I was just talking to a friend about this. It's like, I don't know if we will ever feel like we fully arrived, no matter if we get everything we've always achieved. Because if you would have told that little girl that in, you know, 15 years, 20 years, whatever, however long it's been, that I would be performing in an arena, you know, with my own name, like tagging on with one of the biggest artists in country music, that little girl would have felt like she achieved everything, you know? But now that I'm there, like, I want to keep evolving. I want to be the headliner. I want to have the singles on the radio. So it's funny. It's like, it's a blessing and it's a curse, because it's like, you want to enjoy that moment and be like, yeah, I have arrived, but you also want to keep pushing.
Curious, in the music world and the experiences that you've had, do you feel like you're a part of a tribe, or do you feel like you're kind of a lone wolf? Because you're in an industry that you get headlined with Courtney Cole, right? This isn't like the Coles and there's five of us. As much as I'm trying to get into your band, you keep turning me down. But seriously, I'm curious how you look at yourself in that regard.
It's hard because like Nashville definitely is like an amazing community. It's amazing, especially females right now in country music. Like there's this whole thing in Nashville about how radio's not playing females in country music. And it's this big ordeal. And so you really feel like the women have come together and have kind of been, you know, a community. And that's been awesome. But at the same time, it's like you're on your own journey and nobody is hitting that level of superstardom the same way. If there was a formula, everybody would be there right now. So you feel alone in the fact that everybody's going at it in a different way. Everybody's having their levels of success, and it's hard sometimes not to compare. And so in those moments, that's when you feel really alone. But then you feel really encouraged when you go out to margaritas with the same person and you hear their story and know that they struggled too. So it's a really weird balance of feeling part of a community, but also alone.
Yeah, no, you're it's a constant fight that's beautiful, right? That,
yeah.
That you're willingly going into this ring and saying, okay, I'm gonna get knocked out, but I ain't leaving.
Right.
So on that note, I love all of your work. I get to hear a lot of it early.
Thank you. You know, do.
Yeah, which I'm pumped on. but my favorite piece is what you're doing currently. It's the rockumentary that has taken off on YouTube and has gotten picked up by countless blogs. Tens of thousands of people are sharing this. Hundreds of thousands of people have heard about this. I'm curious where the impetus was for you to say, you know what, I'm going to go do this. Because we had a conversation months ago that this was an idea, and then all of a sudden, there was a link.
Yeah, Yogi, it's so weird. This whole rockumentary thing has taught me so much about myself and just about the synchronicity of life. Because it all goes back to that little girl in my bedroom, because, you know, the same little girl that's going around getting her babysitter to pull her from room to room. When I wasn't doing that, when I wasn't like singing every Celine Dion song in my bedroom, trying to match every note, I was making movies on my dad's video camera. And I always had like this passion for acting and for being on camera. I loved it. I got a lot of energy from that. And when all of this stuff started happening, I was on tour with Miranda, on tour with Kenny, had great management, rekindled with my high school sweetheart, and had a fantastic publishing deal, which was my income. All of that within like a 2-week period ended. And I was literally in this darkness of like crying in my bed all the time and really realizing like how much I relied on that dream to define me. And in so many ways, I feel like it does. Like that literally has been a part of me. Like I said, when I was a little girl, like that's always been ingrained in me, even when I can't even remember. It's like something bigger in me that's pushing that dream through. But I started seeing these little synchronicities of just, you know, these little ideas coming in, like that little girl coming back, that drive, that passion, that love for being creative, that was just like, why don't you film this? Why don't you just share this? Because so many people, it's probably going to look completely different, but so many people have this story. And, I wanted to share it. So it eventually turned into an idea of me and my mom. We were just going to take a cross country trip to come to LA, and I was just going to film that. And it turned into, no, I'm going to get real, and I'm going to actually be as vulnerable as I try to be in my songs. And I'm going to share this story. And I just started doing it.
How do you describe the story if you meet somebody on the street?
I usually tell people that it's a story of going from brokenness to finding joy. And that's an evolution in itself of just being so broken and finding the glue and piecing it all back together, you know? So that's kind of how I describe it.
So it's pretty fascinating. And of course, all these links will be in the blog post and the show notes. But as you're piecing this back together, do you feel like it's at an accelerated rate? Because you're literally piecing yourself back together, and then you're watching it and editing it back from like whether it's previous days or previous weeks of moments when you are putting those pieces back together.
Yeah, it's healthy for me because I honestly wanted to share this story, but I really wasn't expecting many people to watch it, because it's like, you know, if anybody would have been advising me, you know, in like a PR world or whatever, they would have said, Courtney, nobody's going to watch a 14-minute video on YouTube. You're crazy. You need to make this really short. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to ask anyone's opinion. I asked your opinion because you're different. But I'm not going to ask anyone's opinion. I'm just going to do this, and I'm just going to share it from where I've been and tell my truth. And if nobody watches it, fine. But this is my healing. This is me giving purpose to the pain and just putting it all out there, you know, like it gives me purpose and it keeps me going, because I've been getting all these messages. I didn't even know on Instagram that like people that you don't follow can like send you messages, and it you know, there's like this little tab you can go to and see all the messages of people just sending me messages. There were like probably 70 of just like, I literally was thinking about ending my life and I saw this and it gave me the courage to keep going. I'm like, that's keeping me going. Thank you. So it's like this crazy turn of events. I don't know, it's real weird. Table's turning.
Well, it's the evolution, to use your word, you know. Take us to the point of episode one, when you, if any, we've all probably uploaded something to YouTube, and you get to this place where you upload it and then you hit publish. I'm curious what that was like for you, being the first time that, because you can bear your soul in a song, and that's cool, because you know what, we might think it's your life, or it's like an old boyfriend, or something that happened. That's what country music is, right? Like, or you know, whatever genre you want to get into, and you're getting into the acoustic world, which you know I love, when it's the keys and the guitar and all that. But I want to know what it's like for you when you hit send or publish for the first time on the Recumentary.
I cried. My friend Tamara was my best friend Tamara. So for those who haven't watched the Recumentary, my friend Tamara, there was like a bunch of little synchronicities that happened to where I had a place to stay in California. Yogi was actually the one that inspired me to come out here for 2 months. And then just letting it all, you know, I had a free place to stay. I needed someone to lease my apartment. And the day that I decided I needed that to happen, my best friend Tamara was like, I need to move. Can I move into your apartment? So she's living with me up until this point of me leaving. And I literally was sitting on my bed. She was in my living room and I was screaming down the hall going, I can't do this. Like, I can't release this. Like, this has the potential to like end my career. People in this industry could watch this and be like, either she's giving up, she's desperate, trying to get attention. There were so many thoughts of like going through my head of like what people were going to think about this. And she was like, well, why are you doing it in the first place? Why are you doing it in the first place? And I said, this is part of my healing. And I feel like this could heal other people. She said, well, then I think it's time for you to hit that button, upload, you know? And so it's interesting to think about if she wouldn't have been there, like would I have actually done it? Because I was really scared.
What's it like to be that public? I mean, both of us are public, but like there's certain things that I hold on purpose, you know, like specifically like relationship stuff. I'll never put that on social for at least currently. Because I'm like, it's no
relationship stuff.
Well, stop. but I'm curious for you what it's like to be that, you know, proverbial naked on, you know, in your story.
Honestly, it's freeing. It's really freeing. I don't think there's much more to say than that. Like, it just feels, I feel like I'm being the most authentic, not only to people, but to myself that I've ever been. And I see it trickling down into every part of my life. Like, just, you know, being that authentic, that's where you make the deepest relationships, where you connect with people. And I just feel like the more authentic you can be, you learn to trust yourself more. You learn to see the little synchronicities in life that are leading you to the next thing to help you in your evolution, to help you grow and learn more and experience. And so it's trickling down into all aspects of my life.
What time was it when you hit publish?
Was in the morning.
It was in the morning.
Yeah, it was probably around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
And how many times were you like checking
every social 5 minutes?
When was there a, like, take us through that emotion? Because I imagine I get it off of interviews sometimes where it's like, man, that guy hated her, that woman loved it. Oh shit. Oh, what was it like for you? Because this was clearly much more deep than college football.
I was checking it every 5 minutes and I was upset that someone hadn't commented on it in like the first like 1 to 3 minutes. And I remember telling Tamara, I was like, everyone hates her. She was like, it has been up for literally 5 minutes. I'm like, I know, but I need to hear something back from somebody to just validate that what I'm feeling is right. You know what I mean? And it's funny because I got great response. And, you know, it's taken a while. Like, each time I release a new episode, I get like an influx of more people that are like into it and go back and watch all the episodes. So I think it's going to continue to grow, but that's not even what it's about at this point. It's healing for me and for other people.
You, there's many things that I'm a huge fan of you about. The thing that I think I'll always remember above everything else is your ability to show up. And you showed up when I premiered the film Life in a Walk. And it was cool because of those things, like there's a million people there and like you get a couple minutes, like a wedding, right? Like everybody comes to see the bride and the groom and you get like 30 seconds hanging out with them. But you showed up for that for me. And you knew why, and you got to know my family and my dad. And what I loved and what I cried when I was watching your episodes is the story between you and your mom. When you were going through that process, filming at the same time as being as present as you could at the same time, and then editing it and having to say goodbye to her at the same time, figuratively, she's still around and watching every episode and is your biggest fan. But what was that like for you and what did you learn about your relationship with her?
Gosh, I mean, my mom and I have been, she's been my best friend for ever. I mean, like she's more than just a mom to me. We've been through a lot together. My parents split when I was 16, and we went through a really rough time with that. I remember her and I used to, we had a little tiny apartment, tiny apartment, right on off of Lake Pontchartrain. And, we were living on an air mattress for a while, just her and I, same air mattress. And we were going through literally the hardest time of our lives, but we would always figure out a way to laugh. And that's what my mom is for me, is like, even just the other day, I was like starting to feel fear creeping in about being in LA. And who do I call? I call my mom because she makes me laugh. She brings that comfort to me. So in this point in my life where I'm the most scared and I'm the most afraid that I've ever been, there's just so many uncertainties. My mom brings the comic relief and the comfort. And, so she's the one person I wanted to bring on the journey with me. And I think this trip was spiritual for us. All goes back to evolving. You know, when we left on that trip, it just felt like our relationship had kind of hit this thing of, this is just what it was. This is, you know, we're best friends. We're mom and daughter. And then after that trip, we grew on a spiritual level. We started seeing the synchronicities of life, how everything was flowing, even in our little Grand Canyon trip. Of, she got down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. We were hiking and almost didn't make it back up. I literally, the parts I didn't get on camera were me bawling crying because I thought she was going to die of a heart attack. I literally was like bawling crying. But that moment was so spiritual, of just her getting out of the canyon and me getting out of my own canyon. And she's in a bit of a canyon of her own. And we just learned to keep going, to keep moving, to keep evolving, and trusting the synchronicities of life, and knowing that we are always taken care of when we, and everything's provided for us when we need it. That was the biggest thing we learned.
You've said the word synchronicity a lot in this conversation. Just define that for us.
Just the universe showing up in ways, to provide you with your next step. You know, for me, it was like just coming out to LA. I came out here to play Stagecoach in April. I got together with you to get a drink, catch up with you. And you said, why don't you just come out to LA? You've always loved it out here. Why don't you just come spend the summer out here? Well, in my heart, I've always been wanting to just take a trip, to just do something a little bit outside the box, outside of my comfort zone, and go. So when you said that, it hit me in a moment that I really needed to hear that, because I'm like, yeah, this is my time to do that. I didn't even think about what that meant, what it looked like. And so I took that little nugget that hit me at the right time. And I said to my friends, Kate and Brett, I said, hey, if I came out here for the summer, is there any way that I could pay you to like rent your room out? And they were like, just come out here. We want you to stay here for free. Just come be here. And I was like, wait, really? That's another little synchronicity, just a nudge from the universe that says, you're in the right place at the right time. I'm going to provide you with what you need to be provided with. And then after that, my friend Tamara taking over the apartment, she needed to move. That was a synchronicity in her life of just being like, I need to move. Like, now I don't know where to go. She lives in Australia. It's not like she's going to go back there when she's chasing a dream in Nashville. So she moved into my apartment. It's just all these little things that happen that are, you just realize like, I'm so provided for, right, in every moment of every day.
That's amazing. There's a lot of people listening to this that are 20 minutes outside of a city in some state or a tiny town in Pennsylvania or in Australia in the bush, wherever. And they have this dream of coming to Los Angeles. And I truly believe that LA is like the epicenter of entertainment and storytelling and performance. And I get what Nashville is and what New York is, but I think LA is kind of that, it's the Hollywood sign for a reason. What's it like to be here? And what would you tell that little 5-year-old that is about to perform on stage, or the 12-year-old playing basketball in Pennsylvania, in terms of coming and chasing it? Because you did, and you didn't do it at 21 and just road trip it out like the movies would make it and land it, and away you went.
I would just say to trust your instinct and your gut, because I've always wanted to come out here. But it's interesting, because the reason I didn't, because it wasn't the right time. If I would have come out here when I was 21, I think I would be back in Louisiana, you know? But this feeling in my gut that I got was just, especially like the way that it all happened, I knew at that moment that I could trust it and just go. And you have to be resistant to fear, because that's our biggest enemy is fear creeping in and letting it get in the way, and so many what ifs and how is this going to play out, and we create all these scenarios in our head that don't even exist because they haven't happened, and it's just, you have to let life happen.
So how do you deal with that fear? Because it all creeps in for all of us.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a process of dealing with fear.
Let's hear it.
First of all, the first thing I tell myself, because I literally go down this big rabbit hole of fear. It has a way of just consuming me to a point where I will just cry, and like get out of control. And then I always tell myself when I start to feel it creep in, I'm like, Courtney, you need to realize you are literally on a planet spinning in the middle of a gigantic universe, possibly like in the middle of multiple universes. We don't even know why we're spinning here. Like, life is not like this problem. This fear is a lot smaller than you think it is. So accept that and just live the life that you want to live. Create the life that you want to live. And, you know, going back to synchronicities, I think that's why you have been put into my life. You have taught me so much. I think have inspired me just in the way that you create your life of living without limits, creating the life that you want, living in Venice because you want to, you know, traveling to San Francisco and being a, you know, college sports analyst because you want to, and surfing for the majority of the summer because that's the life you want to live. And that's a huge inspiration of just, you know, avoiding fear and getting out there and creating the life for yourself. And I think that's amazing.
Thank you. That's very kind. I have a friend, she once said, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a cool way to encapsulate it. And I love what you said there. You talked about designing a life. I'm curious for you what it means to live a full life.
It goes back to the evolution for me. I'm really big in this right now, actually. Creating the life for myself, just evolving, allowing myself to experience everything more in the moment. And I think that's a big thing for me, because I'm so in the future all the time trying to figure out what's going to happen and letting that fear creep in. But it's just really just experiencing and following the flow of life. Mm. You know, like out here, it's really teaching me. I've been meeting so many random people just because I've been allowing myself to experience and let that experience take me to the next, like that experience take me to the next, and just following the flow of life and not trying to resist it at all.
Well, I just think that you've described so many different elements that light you up, right? Obviously traveling, storytelling, performing, whether you were at 5 years old, singing or lip syncing with your dad. And I'm curious now with all those experiences, what makes you feel the most alive?
I just love just being able to trust the fact that like things are going to happen the way that they're supposed to. And like this energy of being in LA and feeling like when I was in Nashville, I was a hermit because I was uninspired there. Things weren't going the way that I wanted. I let myself just crawl up in a hole in my house and just not get out and experience and meet people and just flow with life. And being out here, like I wish I could just implant myself in a new city every 2 months and feel this excitement and feel this new energy, and because it's been so good for my soul and so good in just trusting the universe and trusting that there's a greater plan for me. And even if that doesn't mean like I'm gonna be Katy Perry, you know, or whoever, like I can just trust the process that at the end of my life that I'm gonna feel fulfilled and I'm just gonna feel like a more evolved human.
I love that. Well, as a filmmaker now, give us a little tease. You know, what's coming up on the rockumentary? You
know? I don't even know. That's what's so great about the rockumentary is that nobody knows the outcome, and I don't know the outcome. I don't know if this is going to end and be like a Forrest Gump moment when after he like runs the whole country and then he just stops and says, well, I guess I'll go home now. I mean, maybe that's how it's going to end. I don't know. But Yeah, you know, I'm working on episode 4 right now, and it just is, episode 4 for me is a lesson in confidence, is me trying to go out and find a job, which is really new for me, because I've been making a living off of music now for 8 years, and so having to go and get a new job is like, oh, it's a little like, no, this sucks, but, just actually going through the interview process and walking into each place with a selfie stick, like filming all my journey, is just, it's a whole lesson in confidence and just owning what I'm doing and just not caring anymore. And that's fun.
Last two questions for you. Curious what you're seeking now outside of the idea of continual evolution.
Mm-hmm. Happiness. And just following that peace, I guess maybe it's more following your peace. My friend Tamara and I have this saying where it's like you're flowing from the next state of peace to the next state of peace. And if something creeps in that isn't in line with that, you know that's not the way to go. Like follow your peace in every aspect of that word.
That's rad. And we ask everybody who comes on this podcast the same final question. I'm curious how you feel about the word limits.
It brings up like that pit in my stomach. Because if there's been so many limits that I've put on my life up to this point that have caused me not to be able to evolve at the pace that I desire to evolve at. And if I could just break through those ceilings, break through those walls, you know, it would be interesting to see where I would be now. And, but now trying to live like you, life without limits. I'm excited to kind of see the sky's limitless. Like where am I going to end up? I don't know.
I love that. Well, I'm looking forward to going on tour with you. If you want to make that announcement, now,
I'll have to
know.
Talk to my agent about that.
I could be guitar number 3. The only song I know is yours. So we can just play that 30 times in the concert. But no, on a serious note, this has been great. The evolution of your story, the documentary is brilliant. I highly recommend everyone to go check it. Best places for people to connect with you are?
Twitter is the Courtney Cole. Actually, it's the Courtney Cole all the way around. Instagram, the Courtney Cole. I do a lot on Instagram. And Facebook is just facebook.com/CourtneyCole.
Love it. All right. We'll have all those links in the show notes. Courtney, awesome. This was awesome. I couldn't thank you enough for jumping on this thing.
Thanks, Yogi. You're the best. It's an honor.
That conversation was a blast. Courtney Cole, rock star, storyteller, musician, singer-songwriter, and of course, filmmaker now with the rockumentary episode 6, literally just dropped today. It's in the show notes. You can find it on all of Courtney's social media platforms or, of course, her website. That's CourtneyColeMusic.com. A couple big takeaways from me from this conversation. Number one, let's just put it into perspective. Courtney grew up outside of New Orleans, Louisiana, was around music her whole life, but didn't have it easy. She went from living on an air mattress to performing on stage next to Miranda Lambert and opening for Kenny Chesney and playing at Stagecoach. I mean, she's chased her dream and has accomplished huge things. Also, an update on her, she has now finally made the decision to live in LA. She got an apartment, she's got an address, it's near the beach. I mean, she's living the actualized life that she put out there. And I think there was a bunch of takeaways. Number one, she's got the grit necessary to succeed in high stakes environments. She's got a love and a passion for storytelling that is obvious, and her vulnerability to share her most intimate self with the rockumentary is something you're going to love. If you haven't checked it out, please go do that. You can check it out on YouTube and all of our social platforms. I watch it all the time. Every time a new episode comes out, I laugh, I cry, I get inspired, and Courtney's done that for me and for countless others. She talks about her process of dealing with fear, of dealing with peace, of moving through difficult times, successful times. I mean, this conversation is one that I'm going to be listening to for a long time as we continue season 3. And a reminder, season 3 is all about people who are seeking to be their best versions of themselves. Courtney is clearly doing that, from brokenness to finding joy, as her rockumentary, the documentary series, continues to rip it all over the internet. And we're going to close this thing a little differently. Usually it's just with my voice, but today we're going to end it with her voice and her song. It's titled The Whole World. This is Courtney's song that is also featured in episode 6 of the Rockumentary. So I'm going to get out of the way. And as we always end this podcast with a simple phrase, the only limits that we have in life are the ones we set ourselves. Peace. And enjoy Courtney Cole's The Whole World.
Got a standing ovation last night at the end of a sold out show. And all that I could think about was you. I wonder if you'd be standing too. I've seen my name shine up with all the brightest stars on a marquee sign. But they don't make me light up quite like you. When you say my name the way you do. What I thought mattered doesn't matter. I hear them clapping and I'm flattered. But I don't need the whole world to love me. No, I don't need the whole world to love me. No, I don't need the whole world to love me. I just need you. I can live without a million people's eyes ever recognizing me. As long as I have all of your attention. Seeing me in all of my dimensions. Cause validation is invalid. Without you, how could I?
Just need